prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report for today. It is Thursday, January 28th, 2016. And we're coming to you live from our radio television studios located here in beautiful northwest Pennsylvania, where we're heard live weeknights, Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, of course, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Folks, we're also simulcast on Blog Talk Radio. Great company. And you can watch us live via our YouTube channel. Just simply go to HagmanandHagman.com there. Bada bing, you should see us right there in full living color. Don't adjust your sets. We're blurry normally. That's all right, because we are blurred. Everything looks like noodles. Yeah, I'm just kidding. I'm Doug Hagman at the helm. Fellow investigator, fellow researcher, my son Joe Hagman together. And we're a thing like that. I like to call the Hagman and Hagman Report the America's premier father-son investigative team. And you know why we dig deep into the issues of the captured mass media won't, the Illuminati-controlled mass media. And, you know, we say that. And well, you know what? It's true. It's true. It's just the way it is. While the mainstream media is going to be digging deep into the debates tonight. Okay, so you know what are you going to get out of it? Seriously, what are we going to get out of this? And what do you make, by the way? And we're going to touch on the debates too tonight. But what do you make about Trump not taking part in the debate? Of course, Reagan didn't.
Right.
Do that back in 80. So, you know, it's just for what it's worth. Folks, before we get into tonight's program, I want to remind everyone that portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by, well, nuts.com. Did you think he wasn't going to say anything else? Nuts.com. What a great website. Nuts.com. Our microphone code, HH. Go to nuts.com, folks, and place your order. New customers. Oh, if you're a new customer, have we got a great deal for you? New customers, what do you get? You get 4 free samples out of 50 to choose from. Your options there. $15 value when you go to nuts.com. Click the mic box and enter our code, HH. You know, and I should also mention portions of tonight's broadcast also brought to you by Whole Tones. WholeTonesLive.com. WholeTonesLive.com. That's WHOLT. Tones. WholeTonesLive.com. They've got some fantastic audio music to heal by, to relieve your stress by. Try it. I mean, really try it. You're going to be amazed at the results. That's WholeTonesLive.com. All right, folks. Welcome to tonight's program. Have a lot to discuss. Last night's program was, I thought it was great. We got a lot of emails about it. And, good and bad. Saying, well, you know, there's a lot of things that we are doing. And of course, we will get the constitutional lawyer. We've heard so much about, okay, Ms. Hall on. We'll get her on, to talk about this. We understand that there's constitutional issues here, of course, at the core. But that's not what we were really referencing. We understand that we're looking at the larger picture here. And the larger picture, of course, comes in, how we're being gamed. And that, plain and simple, how we are being manipulated, how public perception is being manipulated through, and this is something I'm going to talk about here momentarily, but how things are being, manipulated through the media. Joe, hey.
How's it going?
I don't know. You tell me. You know what? I'll tell you what. I just want to give a shout out to the Bay City Rollers. Remember them? God bless you. The night Chicago died, man. Remember that? Are you young enough to remember that? Old enough to remember that, I should say. The night Chicago died. Oh, what a night it was.
Before we get started here, just quick announcements. I know you got a few. Dave Hodges will be with us an hour and a half.
There you go. A big fan of the Bay City Rollers, shall we say.
Yeah, we're going to.
The duck flies at midnight. The duck flies at midnight. The hen is in the nest. I repeat, the hen is in the nest. Operation Drown Out the Rat is a go.
For those of you listening who have no idea what we're talking about.
We don't either.
It's an inside joke of sorts.
We don't either. You know, it's some days you wake up and you think, you know, it just, I don't know. Some days you just wake up and think, how much crazier can life get? But anyway, and you know what, folks, it's just great that it's great to have you guys with us. It really is. Go ahead, Joe.
No, I made my announcements. I know you got a few.
Well, yeah. And you know, this has, and in all seriousness, now I'm switching to a serious mode here, just in case you're wondering. And if you're wondering what that was all about, we're just making fun. It's just fun. You know, it's just people say things and do things, and it's just hilarious. You know, it just never ceases to amaze me what a sewage pit that the internet can be.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, you know. So,
and it is. I mean, yeah. We won't get into that any further.
Yeah. All right. Well, I got to tell you something about last night and about everything taking place. This includes now, folks. I want to talk to you too. This includes the debates tonight. This includes the Oregon standoff. This includes all of the issues that we talk about. All of the important issues, and it's something that. That, ladies and gentlemen, we do talk about the bigger picture. We talk about a view from 35,000 feet. We talk about a view from space. And we talk about the psychological manipulation of society. And this is what we're seeing. And you know, it's very simple for people to tune into any YouTube broadcast, and anyone can sit there and read the news or, you know, say things, and it's great. That's great. I mean, we need all the information warriors that we can. We need them out there. We need that. We need people to do that. Okay. But we need to also look at the larger picture. And this is something here that we're seeing techniques for psychological manipulation of society right now being employed against all of us. Let's look at the bigger picture here. And this, by the way, this tactic is as old as humans themselves. In history, historically speaking, feudal lords, to preserve and consolidate their power, forever have used punishment and torture as dissuasive agents of change. Now, what that means, okay, is trauma-based mind control, basically. Thousands of years ago, it was not done through. Well, it was. The application of this kind of thing was done in a in the manner that, you know, the times. I'm not going to get into that, but what we have to look at is our consciousness, our perception is being manipulated. And I know you've heard this before, but I just want to get a little bit deeper into this because it's so important for us to understand the first real massive application of psychology as a conscious weapon took place in Nazi Germany, especially when it came to eugenics, which really played upon the most obtuse Aryan illusions held by and imposed on portions of the masses. Now, while the cause and developments of Nazi concentration camps, the butchers of the National Socialists, stemmed wholly from the world economic collapse, eugenics, it was devised by the Nazis' favorite technicians, the psychiatrists, okay? Here's what I'm trying to say by saying that. Everything we're seeing today, the mass manipulation of the news, it's not just what the news reports, it's what the news doesn't report, what they choose not to report.
And interesting story on that, we'll get into this later, but an article came out, 10 publishers account for half of all online news.
Now, there you go. Now, listen to that.
And that's kind of like what we see with the cable TV and world of movies, where you have six major corporations that own all the press, whether it's newspapers, magazines, and or cable TV news.
That's right.
Or network news.
Yeah, you know, we really have to we really have to understand that what has happened since 1985, but I mean, this has been long in progress, but really since, in earnest since 1985, is you had, you have a consolidation of all of the media conglomerates. And why is that? Because it's much, much easier to control six people, six outlets, than it is to control 600. It's just simple math. So obviously, you've got this need to throttle the information. So online publishers included. And what we mentioned yesterday is everything and everyone, I dare say, the larger entities and companies have, in corporate entities, that news entities, folks, they have been infiltrated by agents of our government. And see, Joe, you said something to me earlier, and I'm going to springboard off of what you said, but you said something to me. You walked in my office and you said, what? This is not to cast aspersions on anybody or anything, but I just want to throw this out there about this Bundy standoff that you said to me, and I want everyone to think carefully about it, okay?
Yeah, let me read the article here.
And again, this is not to...
It's from the LA Times.
Okay, and it's not to cast any aspersions, or certainly not to take umbrage with anybody or anything, but listen carefully to this one statement, and then, ladies and gentlemen, you every one of you as a rational, sensible human being, you think about this after Joe states this. Go ahead.
The title of the story is, Where Was the FBI During the Arms Standoff in Oregon? Out of sight, but listening and watching. And it goes on to explain, as the armed occupation at the refuge in Oregon dragged on for most of January, local law enforcement was spread thin and federal agents were nowhere to be seen. Behind the quiet facade, however, the FBI was running surveillance on the occupation and recording the activists' public statements, mostly drawn from media reports and activist use of social media. And it goes on to say in the article, there was this statement, which kind of was what I came in and read
right,
to you.
Right. Go ahead.
A significant amount of the FBI's information used to charge Ammon Bundy came from an activist named Pete Santilli, who was living inside the refuge and broadcasting his live conversations with fellow activists.
Stop. Okay. Say that one more time. This is from the LA Times. Say this one more time.
A significant amount of the FBI's information used to charge Ammon Bundy came from an activist named Pete Santilli, who is living inside the refuge and broadcasting live his conversations with fellow activists. Now,
okay. Now,
I don't believe this as
that's not meant to say that he was cooperating.
Right.
And however, now, wow. There's a couple of different directions we could take this, but.
And I also wonder if this wasn't told to the editor or author of this piece to be put in there. I wonder.
Yeah, you know, look, I don't, to just for the record, to be clear, I don't know Pete Santilli. He has issues with me. I've got issues with him. We've got issues with each other. But I don't care. And he doesn't care. It is what it is. So what? Okay. I don't really care. However, I don't care if that would be, just insert another name as far as a journalist. Put John, again, like I said yesterday, Howard K. Smith, okay? Again, you have to be old to remember, but, would that make you look differently at the embedded journalist, whether it's establishment or alternative media?
Well, they say they go on to say in the article, a conspiracy charge in federal court does not require the underlying offense to take place, so prosecutors can charge the defendants based on their statements without proving they actually committed a crime. That is where Santilli's broadcast are proved to be useful to the FBI.
Okay. Well, you know, and again, it seems like a couple of things can apply here. No good deed goes unpunished. Or, the weapons, you know, that because we are in an information war, we are trying to get information out to the public. And I do believe Santilli did a good service with respect to updating people with what was going on. I have to give him credit. Now, was that used? And of course, that information was used. I wouldn't even pose that as a question. That information was used as the basis of evidence, shall we say, collected by the federal government against the occupiers and against the people there, against the Patriots. Was it done deliberately? I don't believe so. Was it done in good faith? Yeah, I truly believe it was. But my question is, okay, was it the time or the place? And I guess it's a moot point anyway. But I thought that was very interesting because aside from that, now this is totally without, I'm going to make it clear, I'm not talking about anyone now. I do believe that the individuals at that compound were infiltrated. We're heavily infiltrated by agent provocateurs, mm-hmm. and I believe that because of that, number one, and number two, the narrative being controlled, I believe that the Patriot movement had an issues, multiple issues. Now, we got a lot of emails about this and people saying, you know, you're good, bad, and ugly, okay? I mean, with respect to the emails. I'll just go over a couple real quick here.
And there's a few emails
I had them up here, but go ahead.
There's a few emails that bring up an issue that I see on Steve Quayle's site, and let me go to the story. It has to do with a Talent Scout paper.
Yeah. Oh boy, you want to open
which
that
I haven't
up.
Seen the video. I just want to address it because I know we got several emails on it.
No, and I know exactly what you're talking about.
It didn't bother me except for the fact of. Shouldn't they just said release? That's the only thing that bothers me, is the wording.
Well, okay.
Because they were shooting a documentary.
Right. Look, anytime you appear, and anyone who's ever appeared on television knows this, except for newscasts, all right, if you're going to appear on a documentary, mainstream documentary, or just documentary period, you got to sign a couple of different papers. And one is a talent release. If you're going to be featured in the video in any significant, okay, I should go back. If you're not a member of the Screen Actors Guild, okay, you will be, all right, because you apply, and then if you have a talking part in a movie or a documentary. And if you have a talking part in the documentary and you're a member of the Screen Actors Guild, then they have to pay you at a certain rate. If you are a member of the Screen Actors Guild and you don't have a talking part in the documentary or a movie or film, whatever, then they don't have to pay you the same rate as somebody who talks. I know that could be as much as a hello, okay? And I'm simplifying a complicated contract. And you will, out of an abundance of caution, if someone is on a set that's not scheduled to talk and they talk, well, that's really not a good thing. I mean, they're in violation of the contract, but they will give releases to people to sign in the event that, so the people can't come back and say, hey, you owe me money. Okay. That's all that is. I mean, not that, but that's all the talent releases are in general. Now, I'm not applying that to this case with the headline, but I'm just saying this is how the business works. Not that I really know from firsthand, okay, because, well, I guess I do. I've had enough papers set in front of me for different things like that, but that's kind of long and short of it. So, you know, anyway. All right. Did you finish or did I mess you up?
No, you're good.
Okay.
You're good.
All right. So anyway, and I know people are wanting to go and listen to the debates, and go for it, because look, you can catch our broadcast and archive. We're not, you know, they're not going to hurt our feelings.
You know,
don't.
Trump isn't going to be there, so I don't know how much attention that's really going to get.
Well, you know, Cruz, and we want to address this later because Ted Cruz there, or Tom Cruise, kidding again. No, Ted Cruz is going to be taking center stage, and you know, again, the elephant in the room here, and is no one going to talk about his eligibility? I know that this has been voiced out there by individuals,
of course not.
People.
Of course not.
But are any of the people in the media going to talk about this?
No.
Aside from maybe Butch, what's her name? Maddow. Never mind.
I don't see anybody talking about the eligibility. Because if they address the eligibility issue now, they're going to have to also acknowledge, I think how the media turned turned against the quote-unquote birthers in the Obama issue is carrying over to the Cruz issue.
Well, see, they made, they made a big deal about McCain, though, Joe.
Well, that was for, I think that was to rub it in the face of birthers and people who knew the truth.
Perhaps.
That they were not going to get their way, or the laws were not going to be enforced and are out the window. And the GOP establishment, from the top leaders down to the mouthpiece, which is Fox News, has completely, you know, just railed Trump this whole election cycle, whether it's for show and theater or whether it's serious. I don't know, but they make it seem like it is the worst thing that could happen to their party is to have Donald Trump as the nominee of the Republican Party for this election.
Right.
So whether that's real or not, I don't know. I mean, even so much so that yesterday Rush Limbaugh called Fox News a liberal MSNBC type cesspool. I'm paraphrasing.
You gotta love the candor, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting to see what's going on.
You know, it's a free-for-all. Oh, a divide indeed. And this is being cultivated. Again, this goes to the psychology of what we're seeing. And there's the one thing that the Tavistockian structure loves, the Luciferian elite love, is the divisiveness. And it doesn't matter how big or how small that divisiveness is. The bigger, the better. And we saw this happen back in the 1960s. We saw this, the 1960s, the SDS, the Weathermen, Students Democratic Socialist, SDS, and the Weathermen were the, you know, flower children and the protesters in the streets. They were the, Occupy Wall Street of the 60s, basically, except with bombs and, you know, bongs and bombs, probably. But they, you know, that was funneled and fueled by the CIA, okay? And people don't understand this. People don't realize this, that the people that were engaged back in the 1960s, the flower children of the 60s, the people at Woodstock, and we have gone over this and over this, they were all facilitated by the CIA. And you think, how is this even possible? Well, it is. And if you get into the study history, you can see how it all came about. And I've got a very interesting, I'm going to be writing some things here about, something very interesting caught my eye. And
is it this, House Representatives Bill, House Resolution 569, which is, entitled Condemning Violence, Bigotry, and Hateful Rhetoric Towards Muslims in the United States?
Is that bill entitled to something, or is it just simply titled?
No, this is I got this from Steve's site. I haven't really looked at it.
What I'm asking is there an entitlement involved, or is it just titled? You're not
understanding.
No. I got a real problem with anyone who says it's entitled. Although that's becoming accepted.
Oh, yeah, it's titled.
It's titled. But see, no, seriously, I guess I'll shut up now. You know, now people hate when I do that.
Well, you were about to make a point.
Yeah. No, that's okay. So here's what's taking place right now with the debates, with everything that we're seeing take place. When we look up, you know, have this bigger view, the psychiatrists, the psychiatrists have really become the tools, or have laid the foundation for this psychological manipulation that we are undergoing. Now, if you go back, you look at the Nazi movement, the Nazi occult, the Nazis from the World War II, their favorite people in the whole world, aside from the witches, you know, and such, their favorite technicians, if you will, were the psychiatrists. And since then, the science of the mind has been converted into the craft of mind destruction. You see, legitimate therapeutic approaches have given way to behavior modifying pseudoscience in the name of aversion therapy. And what I mean by that is, this conversion of the mind science was shaped by war, the war of genocide waged by the global elite against the working class. It comes back down to the Tavistock, the work of the Tavistock Institute. And go ahead and throw. I'll let you right now go throw something at the computer because he said Tavistock again, and he's talking about Tavistock. And what is it? His mind just stuck in this one thing? But no, really. In order to understand, really, and I'm being very serious about this, in order to understand what's taking place here, we need to understand who is setting us up. And who is setting us up are the United States assets working for Tavistock and the European assets working for Tavistock. So all assets of the West working for Tavistock. But who's Tavistock and who are the controllers? Well, this is where Tavistock is really the Madison Avenue global elite, arm of the global elite, okay? These are the people who are, the essential premise of the work of Tavistock is the premise that certain kinds of democratic institutions represent far more efficient instruments for example, fascist dictatorship. Because as opposed to strictly authoritarian models.
And if I can jump in, behind those people who you mentioned in these institutions is the cults, the mystery religions that work black magic in order to bring about the aspirations of their evil plans and use these people as a way of implementing them.
Well, and this goes to the issue in Oregon. Now, somebody had sent me, perhaps JD sent me this, I'm not sure, or a listener sent me this, or both. there's an occult significance to Oregon, to the death of Finicum and the situation in Oregon. Did you know? Okay, I didn't bring my notes out of my office with. Well, maybe I did. Maybe they're on here. Stand by here. I believe it is. It's now Freedom Fighter Times. I believe it is. I just want to give them credit to cite them appropriately. I believe it's Freedom Fighter Times. And if not, I will correct it later during the program. But there's a YouTube out there where they make this Masonic connection to the Robert Burns Masonic Lodge number 97, Hammond's address of 979, just the numbers there, and a few other issues, and a few other things that were really odd that include the week, and Maria Kanes, author of Prepare for Persecution, had sent me earlier, I think it was maybe last week, had sent me the satanic calendar of dates. Not that she follows it, but she's aware of it. That list the week of January 20th through the 27th, which is, this week is listed as a grand climax blood sacrifice for Satanists.
Steve had some on his website.
There you go. Yes. Yeah, as a matter of fact, Steve Quayle is. If you go to stevequayle.com and look down there, you'll see this satanic the headline that
he gives
the
dates
over.
Yeah,
but it's a link to the video I'm referring to. So very simply, go to stevequayle.com and click on the link to the video. And I believe it links to, again, Freedom Fighter Times. So I gave him credit for the. Now, the first 4 minutes it's kind of a, you can fast forward through like a lot of that. Really, the information starts at the 5 minute mark. That's a lady. She's, every time I mention, things like, satanic and stuff, she gets really upset. Now, brought her to office and studios here, and, we actually get, EPS deliveries late about this time, so it's interesting. Just leave it by the door. Anyway, the message here is there's a connection between between this satanic calendar and the murder of this Finicum. And it's interesting too, at the end of this satanic week, Hitler, on January 30th, for example, is the day that Hitler was named Chancellor of Germany, which he became the fascist, essentially dictator. There's a connection to the date, January 30th, or perhaps a connection to that date, and maybe something upcoming with the situation in Oregon as well. But certainly, most certainly, if not that connection as well, we could look at that as having perhaps a connection with the martial law bill that grants the unlimited authority of use of military assets in by the executive branch, by Obama. So it's just a very interesting aspect that a lot of people might roll their eyes at and say, oh, this can't be. But remember, it's not important if you don't believe it. It doesn't matter what you believe. It matters what others believe that are involved in the process. And you know, I often liken it to someone who is, you know, if somebody believes in, I mean, maybe your grandmother believed that, maybe she played bingo, or your mother or your aunt or something, you know. And you know, did you ever see people play bingo and they got their little trinkets all in front of them? You know, or you know, somebody goes to a sports event, they wear their same jersey because they believe it's good luck. Again, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you believe. Yeah, it matters what they believe. So look at it from all angles. And that's one of the things that the satanic is now becoming. And Steve Quayle did this. I think he just threw his headline. He really made it clear that the satanic is coming more into focus now in all things. And this is one of them. But with respect to the mind science, there are, you know, the Tavistock Institute is controlling the narrative, the models that we see, the CIA style brainwashing, the psychological routes that we're following, that were really outlined back in 1945. By a guy by the name of John Rawlings Rees. Now, he was the grand master of psychological warfare counterinsurgency. And in a book by Daniel Estulin called Tavistock, The Tavistock Institute, Daniel Estulin talks about this John Rawlings Rees, the grand master of psychological warfare counterinsurgency and counterinsurgency itself, which is exactly what we're looking at when we talk about the larger picture here, because the shaping of psychiatry by war, Rees calls for the development of psychiatric shock troops in order to develop methods of political control based on driving the majority of the human population towards psychosis, and that's exactly what we see taking place. Okay, isn't that the way? I mean, isn't that what we see taking place? Do you have to get that? I'm just kidding.
Turn the ringer off.
Yeah, okay. Rees told a group back in 45 of Army psychiatrists that if we propose to come out in the open and attack the social and national problems of our day, and this is back then we must have shock troops, and these cannot be provided by psychiatric or psychiatry based wholly in institutions. And now I'm quoting from a book by John Rawlings Rees himself, okay? And this is connecting some dots here. So hold with me. I'm getting to the actual points here. But I would like you to remember the name John Rawlings Rees, R-E-E-S-E. If you want to learn a little bit about what we're going through, and I stand corrected, by the way, that what I quoted from was the Tavistock Grin, the real CIA, the Rockefeller's fascist establishment, I'm sorry, April 1974. But let me just say that again. What Rees was calling for is the development of these psychiatric shock troops in order to develop methods of political control based on driving the majority of the human population towards psychosis. Meaning to say that he wanted to spread this confusion, mass confusion among the population. And of course, in so doing, back in 45, again, he said, if we come out in the open and attack the social and national problems of our day, then we have to have these shock troops then we must have shock troops, and these cannot be provided by psychiatry based wholly in institutions. We must have mobile teams of psychiatrists who are free to move around and to make contact with the local situation in their particular area. Now, what he's referring to here is his logic is extremely clear. For true mental health, there's got to be a complete change of society along the lines of rational selection. He writes that many don't see reality this way, including most workers who believe that any method of selection is a mechanism by which the wicked capitalist aims to get more work out of the workers. Okay, where this comes into play here, and it might sound almost like it's at the periphery of any argument that we might have, is this. In his worldview, anyone who engages, we'll say, in subversive activity, well, they should be classified as mentally ill, in need of treatment. Or at the very least, they should be classified as an individual who themselves cannot see that they're mentally ill. Now, think about that. Because this is exactly the mental health guidelines from the latest DSM, the Diagnostic Manual for Psychiatry, that we're seeing being implemented against gun owners, patriots, and Christians. We're seeing it come to pass right now. All right. So, and maybe that was a long way going about saying that that we're seeing this. We're seeing this mission to build a society where we treat people who become subversive politically or theologically. And by theologically subversive, I'm talking about fundamental. Bucking against the church, for example. The normal mainstream church. The mega churches. As needing psychiatric care. And it is through Rees, R-E-E-S, in the Nazi model that this was built, that today's construct was built. Why is this important? You know, why should we dig back that long ago? I guess because, you know, Steve wrote his book about Empire Beneath the Ice, about the Nazis. That book has a lot of great information in there about the tactics and about the information that is just about what the Nazis did. And seriously, what they continued to do. They're still Nazis and read Devil's Chessboard about the Dulles brothers. Okay? Yeah. Mainstream is just about as mainstream as you can get. And you can see the Nazi connections to today. But anyway, we are dealing in psychological warfare. We are victims, folks, you and I, of psychological warfare. When we speak of psychological warfare, we're often speaking of ways to make the enemy afraid. And in order to do this, we must understand the enemy's psyche. What makes him love, what makes him hate, what makes him fight, what makes him run. They're studying us. Now, the enemy might be foreign or domestic, or an army of men, or just, you know, an enraged mass of workers. But in order to find an effective antidote, Tavistock and company need to understand how this enemy will react under stress, meaning us. Will he fight harder? Will we fight harder? Or simply surrender and see every situation over the last decade, two decades, three decades, well, going back to 40, in the, you know, mid-20th century, we have been studied. Our reactions have been studied. So when I saw this in Daniel Estlin's book about the Tavistock Institute, I thought, my goodness, you could apply this to the Bundy Ranch and the Bundy. Well, I'm sorry, the Mulhere, or Oregon standoff, as well as the Bundy Ranch. They are learning from us. So what is taking place here is the people in charge, the power brokers, are using psychological warfare. They are learning what makes us afraid. They are learning what makes us love, what makes us hate, what makes us fight, what makes us run. They are learning how we respond, and they are working toward a very effective response, and in so doing, managing the public relations aspect of the situation, and how well. And if you just go back to the BLM standoff in Nevada last year, and look at the Mulhere, Oregon standoff this year, you see a difference. You see a difference in the perception. Do you think? I believe that they have learned, because to me, the government, the BLM, had a real black eye from that. They suffered a kind of a defeat. Joe, and tell me if I'm wrong. When the BLM and the FBI and the government backed off Nevada, did they not suffer a kind of a humiliating defeat in the eyes of the public? Wasn't that kind of a PR nightmare?
Yes, it was.
Okay, so I guess what I'm saying is they learned from their mistakes and have employed everything that they learned into the situation today.
No, you're exactly right. And okay. This goes for, governments. This goes for, we talk about the secret societies and the globalists and their agendas and how they implement their agendas. And it is through trial and error. The reason we have the constitutional republic in America and have had the most successful and wealthiest nation in the history of the world is not by accident. It is by careful calculation and planning after trial and error of other systems of government and what works best to further accomplish their end game objectives.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that the larger game, again, is shaping the reality, is shaping the perception. And that's what I want, because I received a lot of, emails saying, for example, Pete Santilli as an embedded journalist, and I use that only because that's the best way I can describe him there, was the only one getting the story out. All right. The mainstream media wasn't covering it. Other journalists weren't covering it. Of course, no one was inside, or no one had the inside track in there. But again, the narrative was was not necessarily effectively disseminated, and that's nothing against anyone there. It's more of an indictment against the mainstream media. And even some of the alternative media, and I'll even take some blame for that too, because we could have been a lot more proactive initially. But the bottom line with all this is, it doesn't matter what situation we're seeing, and certainly this applies to the political debates. This applies to anything that happens now as a consequence of what happened in Oregon. Let's say that there's an event that takes place at a federal building in response, much like 1995. Do you think that first of all, do you think that's possible? I do. Do you think it'll be a false flag? And I personally think it would be. But they're going to use this as a springboard in order to clamp down on our guns. Certainly clamp down on let me back up and say this, restate this. They would use any type of an event like this to manage the public perception of patriot and militia groups in order to turn the tide of public opinion against the patriots and the constitutionalists to effectively facilitate a gun grab or justify a gun grab, gun confiscation scenario, and also to vilify us, and even so in so doing, not just to vilify us, but to name us, and we've seen this happen in papers by the DHS and by law enforcement, as subverting the government, political dissent, criminalizing it. So this is where it comes from. And once you understand the deeper psychological ties and how the Nazis perfected this and how the fascists perfected this and how psychiatrists are today being used. And Joe, of all the people I've seen do research, I have to give a lot of credit to you for your research into the psychiatric aspect of this. Of healthcare, where now the psychiatrists and doctors are asking certain questions, and we are being put into databases based on our responses to certain questions. It doesn't even have to be psychiatrists anymore. It could be your regular PCP, personal care physician.
And it's actually gotten worse. There is an article, and I thought I saved it. Here it is. A new government task force calls for screening of every adult pregnant women for depression. Yep. And this is a new recommendation released by the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force, a governmental advisory group that is now recommending all adults be routinely screened for depression as part of their health care.
Right. And it's almost as if when you go to the doctor, and folks, if you do go to regular physicians, you're going to notice, and if you haven't already noticed, a change, maybe with the beginning of the year, where you're going to be asked questions, for example, about your state of mind. And the questions were gradual. The invasiveness of the questions have been gradual. But I noticed a marked change in my own physician's office. Now the questions are much more invasive, and they're asking, are you depressed? Have you had any occasions lately of feeling
stressed
and even suicidal? And then the questions, it's almost like they're going off of a flow chart. And the reason we bring this up is because it's...
Do you have any guns?
Yes. Our doctor? Yes. They have to ask, do you have any firearms at home?
Yeah.
It's up to you how you answer that.
Yeah.
Okay. None of your business would be comes to mind, okay? But it's up to you how you answer that. But certainly, I would not feel obligated to answer any questions like that personally, me personally. But then, you know, I'm just a Bay City roller, man. I don't know. So maybe they'll ask if we have any yellow cake. I don't know. That's an inside joke. But seriously, you get back to the serious nature of this. We're seeing the public perception molded by television, by radio, by television and by the mainstream, or by mainstream television, by television and through films and movies, but also by the big names in the talk show industry. Okay, that's one more. We know about movies, we know about television, we know about newscasts, but now evident now with the big names and talk shows. And the reason is, political time of year, political season. But the reason is, there is a necessity by the powers that govern our perception of things to increase and kind of put the pedal to the metal, because time is running short. Obama only has several more months, 8-9 months before he's going to be out the door.
We'll be out the door on January 20th of next year. So he's got a year. Under a year.
Right. But the other side of this, too, is...
But the vote's in November, you're right.
Right. It's kind of crunch time for the globalists, because we're seeing a confluence of events. We're seeing things take place that we've never seen before, especially in any election year. The bigger picture here, you've got the economy. When we look at the economy, we've seen just trillions of dollars of liquidation of wealth, really, since June of last year, of stock market wealth, of 401k wealth and such. We've seen extreme manipulation in the stock market, in the bond market. We've seen never before rates of debt, unsustainable debt.
Yeah, and latest figures say debt could reach $30 trillion by 2020.
Right, right, exactly.
That's just...
Yeah. The, you know, the mainstream news purposely limits your understanding of the world by what it chooses to report or ignore. You've got to really understand that. You've got to really embrace that. And they're ignoring this confluence of events. The Islamic invasion is another issue that is not being talked about. The Islamic invasion of the West, and including the United States, is orchestrated and managed to the extent that it's almost a foregone conclusion. And they're managing not just the invasion, but your response and your perception and response to the invasion, which is why the preface to what I was talking about is so important. Notice the situation that happened in Cologne, Germany, and we'll use this as just a kind of a benchmark. If you're wondering what I'm talking about, there was an article that was released by the Gatestone Institute. This was, I believe this was a couple of days ago, where, and in fact, the title of it was The Spreading of the Scent of Cologne. And the author of this writes that the city of Cologne, still famous for scented water, and I don't know how many people have been to Cologne, Germany, but hence the name, all right, has become, since last New Year's Eve, best known for the misogyny of a growing population of immigrants from North Africa, Middle East, and elsewhere. Now, I'm not going to read this article, but what this is, what they're talking about here, last New Year's Eve, there were hundreds upon hundreds of women who were assaulted, who were raped, who were manhandled, who were tossed about, who were treated horribly, and that's an understatement, by this alien invasion of Muslim immigrants. These people could not be restrained by the police. And again, they raped thousands of women in Cologne, Germany. All right. Now, at first, the police played down the seriousness of the incidents, but by 10 days afterwards, but I think it was somewhere like in the second week of January, the BBC reported the number of criminal cases had risen. Can you believe this? To 516. Those were just reported on that one specific day for just a few hours. 516 rapes. Okay, by these Muslim immigrants. By these asylum seekers, these illegal immigrants from North Africa. This was confirmed by Germany's Interior Ministry. They stated that almost all those involved were nearly 99% were Muslim immigrants. New. Now, Cologne was only the second, or was only, I'm sorry, Cologne was only the most prominent city to undergo this kind of ordeal. Now, if you go back to earlier reports of the Washington Post, they wrote that no city was hit harder than Cologne, where gangs were mostly young men who actually hunted the women, corralling them before groping, assaulting, robbing them, raping them, and doing just untoward things. But other German cities suffered as well. Hamburg, Stuttgart, Frankfurt. Smaller cities. Why is this important in the context of what we're talking about tonight? It's because the perception is being controlled. What is not being reported is equally, if not more important than what is being reported. And when this is being reported, notice the management of the public perception. What's the tactic? So where's the playbook for the public perception when this is being reported? It is the playbook of the Tavistock Institute, and the people who control our media, the six corporations who control our media.
10 corporations who control more than half the content online
media.
A few of those, I didn't read through the article yet, but a few of those were the same ones that control the media on TV, press, and cable.
And the very same people who are downplaying the rapes, the assaults.
Yeah, erasing videotapes, calling the rapist victims and such. It's disgusting.
They are the very same people who are not only involved in, but folks, please understand me clearly, managing the people that you are being told as Christian conservatives to listen to. They're managing them.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be right back.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.